So in the meditation, I shared these three qualities: safety, connection, and respect or dignity. I've been doing more work in a field that I'm still a little bit trying to get my head wrapped around exactly what it is, but it's called somatics. And the lifting up of these three particular qualities comes from that work. I love this concept, but I hadn't really thought about sharing it today until I read an interview with an actor. And the interview was asking him about, what it took to play the role of a really monstrous character, deeply, deeply monstrous character. And he said, as ironic as it sounds, what he needed was to connect to the character's humanity. And that he and the director had a lot of conversations to kind of create a backstory. And once they started talking about it, the thought of what it would have been like for this character to have been a child in the household that this character was grew up in. In that particular household, the only outward accepted form of safety was brokered through power, domination, and fear. And what would happen to a child's developing nervous system to only know safety as brokered through power, monstrous domination, and fear? And that once he got a grip on that, then he felt like he could play the character with a sense of connection to the underlying humanity. We are exquisitely vulnerable and resilient, but vulnerable beings in our nervous systems. And when our nervous systems are not met with the kind of nourishment, the kinds of healthy, wholesome nutrients needed to develop well, we don't. We just don't. It's very clear that our environment has a huge load to do with whether or not our nervous systems are getting those nutrients, those nourishments, particularly at the most vulnerable ages, the young. When we are young, we are the most vulnerable. When I was a kid, my dad used to talk about this a lot before there was as much neuroscience and research around this. He would bring it up in our church, where sometimes his ideas around the fundamental importance of growing up with love for a healthy way of developing. I remember as a kid hearing conversations where he would be kind of outwardly scoffed at for such ideas. And there was this sort of underlying tone to it that I still hear commonly today. So it's worth naming this. That is, if we seek to understand the roots of behavior, this is very still commonly totally misunderstood. If we seek to understand the roots of really harmful, bad behavior, that somehow that is the equivalent of giving a bye to that behavior. It's somehow the equivalent of making an excuse for that behavior. And it's not. It's just wisdom. If I can understand the roots of where some behavior comes from, my own or someone else's, then I have some possibility of knowing what a wise response is, of knowing a way to move directly that has the best possibility of a better outcome of healing. So when I started my study of this field of somatics, to hear these three particular qualities put up as the key nutrients to healthy development, I really appreciated that. And the analogy is very, very strong. The first woman I heard, Amanda Blake, talk about this, she used the metaphor of plants. In plants, we know plants need sunshine, water, and healthy soil. And if any one of those three is not available in an appropriate balance, we know, it's just obvious, the plant doesn't grow well or grows in a deformed way in the best it can in light of the conditions it has. There is this remarkable faithfulness to life in all life. If it can figure out a way to develop in those conditions, it will. But its healthiest conditions, as that plant shows, I would say that plant's actually benefiting from a fourth nutrient: soil, sun, water, and lots of love. But it's easy to see in plant life. And her point was that we forget this in human life, that if these three qu nutrients of a sense of healthy safety, connection, respect are not met, then no different than a plant, of course, we also grow up kind of maldeveloped, not our fullest, healthiest selves. Of course we do. Of course we do. The wondrous thing about our nervous systems that we also know is that we can grow throughout our lives, and that there is, I mean, otherwise we wouldn't be doing this practice. There are ways that we can grow these qualities at whatever level that deficits are present. We can intentionally take on this as a practice and grow these qualities for ourselves. And this is never the whole picture. Obviously, we have the genetic picture, the epigenetic picture. I don't know how many of y'all are familiar with the term epigenetics. The genetics means the DNA I am born with are the genes I inherited from my parents. That's a given. Epigenetics is the pattern that they're turned on and off, and that is actually influenced by our environment. And there are patterns of turning on and turning off that can be passed down intergenerationally. That's the epigenetics of trauma. That's why they say trauma can be passed down, the effects of it can be passed down for seven generations. the effects of wholesomeness can also be passed down and can be developed and passed down generation by generation as well. When we attend to nourishment in healthy ways. So just a little bit about these three, and then what I'd like us to do is take some time to contemplate these three for ourselves. First one, safety. Oh, this just makes so much sense. If you know the model of the flipped lid, the hand-brain model, the brain functions best when all parts are working together. If I don't feel safe, my midbrain, survival part of my brain, tries to take over, hijack, flip the lid, in order to reduce choices to fight, flight, or freeze, and go into survival mode. If I am growing up in some way that I chronically don't feel safe, I am spending, and to some degree, you know, and bigger and smaller for various of us, this is our culture to live with kind of chronically flipped lids to some degree or another. And that's what we're working on with our practice, is finding our ways to bring our natural, wholesome, healthier, wiser, more connected, compassionate self back together, the brain that that's working with all parts. So in the flipped lid environment, hypervigilancy, hypersensitivity, hyperreactivity become my norm, which of course leads to depression, anxiety, and on and on and on. And what I want to say is, whenever I talk about this, I think the natural place for us to go is this panic of, oh, that's what's wrong with me. And I just always feel like it's really important to put the caveat out there that that's never our whole story. You wouldn't be coming to a mindfulness group in here if that was your whole story. There is a lot of strength and development in healthy ways in each of us. It's you know, like the true violent psychopath that has none of that. So make sure you don't create this into a horror story about yourself, and tap into what's good and what's right about yourself too. And if that sense of safety, if you know there wasn't enough of it, it's a great question to work with. So how do you work with more, getting more of it? Especially if that doesn't mean creating external conditions that will be perfectly safe. Because you know that's not true. We can't pull that off in this world. It doesn't exist anywhere. So what does the word mean if it's not that? That's an interesting concept. So the next one, loving connection. Of course, when we are little, that's how we find our sense of safety, by knowing that we are loved, and feeling that we are worthy of being loved. When we are born, our brains are not fully developed. All of y'all know this. But the parts of the brain that develop further are often those parts that are about emotional intelligence, connectivity, relationship, all of that. We develop this as we grow up in practice of this. And the fact that we choose to show up in some sort of practice where we consciously cultivate loving connection shows that, one, we've got something to build on. You know, obviously there's something in there to build on in the first place. And two, that cultivation is possible. Otherwise, we wouldn't keep at it. And the third, respect. That sense of feeling I too am worthy of connection allows a sense of self-worth and self-respect to arise. And what's so interesting about all of these, the more grounded I feel in my own sense of safety, connected, connection, respect, self-respect, that is what allows me to then be available in the world in the way I care about. That is then what allows me to show up in a way that matters. So just a couple of examples I want to bring forth. It really is important to understand that these qualities transcend conditions in a very radical way when we find our own internal sense of wholeness. So one of the most obvious examples in recent times has been Nelson Mandela, who lived through remarkably unsafe, physically, mentally abusive conditions of prison, places that tried to disconnect him, tried to treat him with tremendous lack of respect. And he had a strong enough sense of his own wholeness to come out of that with an internal sense of safety, connection, respect that made tremendously powerful impact on the world. So don't underestimate the birthright of these qualities within us and of the possibility of connection with these qualities, these strengths, independent of what the conditions are. So what does that mean? Just as a very small example, for me, when I got my first diagnosis of breast cancer, there was about a month of diagnosis time where it really wasn't clear, was this a straightforward breast cancer, which it turned out to be, easily treated, you know, workable with, very. versus had it already metastasized. And the, you know, shadows just kept coming up everywhere that had to be tracked down. And there was a month of unknown in there. And in the midst of parenting, I could not afford to get lost in a flipped lid panic story. I just couldn't afford to do it. And to find a radical sense of safety in the not knowing and not needing my safety, not allowing my safety to be dependent on it, quote unquote, working out the way I wanted it to. That's not unusual. That was one of the gifts of being a doctor. I saw people do this kind of relationship with themselves in a just deeply holistic way that was beautiful. It's not easy work. So we start where we are and we bring a lot of grace to the journey and we pick maybe one of these, safety, connection, respect. And see what way we can tend to cultivating this more for ourselves in whatever way that looks like for you. So let me pause there. And invite you to consider for yourself these three nutrients: safety, connection, respect. What's some time in your life that you can remember where you were connected with one of them in a way that was palpable? Doesn't have to be that big, momentous thing. It can be a very small, sweet moment. I often think about the connection with my sweet dog who greets me at the door with joy. That matters. A sense of safety, connection, and respect, and a deep hug from a friend when I'm having a hard day and someone just cares. Everyone in this room has some place where that has been present, or you wouldn't be in this room. But sometimes it's easy to let the amygdala blind us to what's good, what's useful. And we kind of need to reclaim our right to our small moments of joy, of gratitude, of connection, of a sense of respect. Was there some time you said no to something in a way that was simply an act of self-respect? Self-care, wisdom. Safety, connection, respect. If you don't understand these three in the usual society ways, but maybe in the more under the radar, really important moments. What do you know about these for you? And how do you bring this to your practice? When you sit in your formal practice, are you meeting yourself through the lens of these kinds of qualities? What does it look like? What does it feel like? Say you're having that day, you're trying to do a meditation, and the mind is just doing its thing, is on its go. And there is some way you still meet yourself with care. What's that like? If you were to pick one of these that you want to nurture more in your life, which one would it be for you? And just for today, what does that look like for you? What do you do today? To allow your own self-care for something around safety, connection, respect. May we all find the nourishment we need in this direction, and may it feed us in a way that allows us to show up and be more available to a world that needs this. Thank you.